Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. We have an exciting rivalry week. Some of us had a better rivalry week than others, but that's usually how it goes.
RIP.
Ohio State fans. I wasn't even thinking about you when I made that statement.
I appreciate it. We're that irrelevant. Yeah.
Now that makes it even worse. Okay.
Well, I just started
off on the wrong foot with you.
No, I just gotta say, I'm sick right now, and I'm pretty sure I actually got sick from the game that I was at this Friday. And not just the performance of the team, but it was really cold. It was a very cold weekend across the country. And I actually left at halftime of the Wisconsin game. And I regret
nothing. They did say on TV, actually, that it was like a record cold game for Madison.
It was really cold, dude. So I'm sick and I'm blaming that. I got sick from the game.
Really cold. It must have been like 45 degrees.
Get the heck. I think with the wind chill, it was in the 10s, I want to say. So it was bad. And my wife was getting extremely cold, too. It was just like, I got to get out of here. That was a miserable
game. The Bama game was cold, too. It was like in the low 40s.
Oh, my God.
And the sun was down.
At least you won your game. So you have that going for you, Randy.
Yep, that's very true. Yeah. Win's a win in rivalry week. So I guess what we're going to start with is before I go into the games, I wanted to make a comment about the importance of rivalry games in the new college football playoff era. I think that we saw a lot of heated, intense rivalry. I mean, we always have those moments, right? And we'll kind of get into those. But it really seemed like there was a lot more interest in the game beyond playing for pride. It really seemed like there were so many more rivalry games as a direct result of the expansion of the playoff that had direct implications on the playoff. For example, the Iron Bowl, that was an elimination game for us. South Carolina at Clemson had potential playoff implications.
It did.
Georgia Tech to Georgia.
Yeah.
If Georgia goes down, there's a good chance they get left out because of the head-to-head with us.
Yeah.
Texas A&M is playing for that SEC championship game spot. That was an elimination game,
Miami.
At least for A&M.
Miami got eliminated.
But yeah, Miami. Miami going. I mean, Syracuse isn't a rival, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Vanderbilt. That was an elimination game for Tennessee. Arizona State, Arizona. That's an elimination game for Arizona State. Seeing all these, you know, rivalry games get a lot of increased importance because a lot of them are now elimination games.
Right. Whereas, like, in years past, only a handful of these games would have mattered. Like, really only, like, the Texas game and, like, the Ohio State game would have mattered, really, in the grand scheme.
And Alabama. Alabama Auburn played for a lot of, like, chances to go. Because even, like, the rare years where we didn't go, it was Auburn that would go because they beat us.
Not this year for Hugh Freeze's. But, yeah, this was, I will say, I agree with you, Randy. This was probably the most, like, impactful or like important rivalry weekend we've had maybe ever, or at least that I can remember, you know, because it just felt like the whole day, in fact all the Friday and Saturday, it just felt like so many things were happening, like the playoff picture was changing as each, you know, game slot was done, and that was really crazy to see. It was as exciting as I could have hoped it could have been.
I just remember the elation we all felt whenever we realized, as we were walking into the stadium, that's when we learned that Clemson lost, and that's when we learned whoever else it was that needed to lose lost, and we were learning during the Alabama game that Miami lost. It was great. I was like, oh, wow, we're actually, okay.
Bama's,
we can see what happens this week.
Bama's won the national title, so something's never changed.
We're not even technically in yet. We can talk about some scenarios in a little bit. But I guess at this point, let's go ahead and go right into the games, and that'll introduce some of these topics I have written down.
Let's do it.
Let's start with Friday night. We had Georgia Tech at Georgia in an 8 overtime thriller. Oh, man. You already... as much as people complain about Alabama and the refs, I cannot think of a single time where we were blatantly gifted a game that badly.
That was difficult to watch.
Oh my goodness.
I remember at one point that Georgia player like punched the Georgia Tech quarterback in the nuts in order to fumble the ball. And it was at that point I realized, yep, this is over. Like this is how it's going to be.
And that wasn't penalized. There were four key plays. One, they missed the targeting on the Haynes King fumble. Very blatant. Two was they didn't call a fumble on the field whenever Georgia fumbled inside the 5. Mm-hmm. Three, there was a phantom defensive pass interference that was just, the ball was tipped. Mm-hmm. So it's not a callable penalty. And they, on a fourth down, third or fourth down, Georgia gets a free first down when Georgia Tech was about to get the ball back. And then they're on the actual touchdown that Georgia scored to tie the game. There was a blatant offensive face mask that just didn't get called. Mm-hmm. It was so bad. And, I mean, to a greater point, reffing this year has been just atrocious. It's so inconsistent. So many wrong, bad calls. Mm-hmm. The refs don't even – they look confused every time there's some kind of play – flag they need to throw. They look like they don't know what they're doing. Like, they look confused when they're trying to deliberate about it, like they nobody saw it. I don't know what the problem is. I mean, I get refs in college are kind of part-time, and that's probably a problem, but they have normal jobs that they work.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if at some point we're going to eventually get some kind of, like, change in just the way refereeing is handled, in the sense of, like, reviewing penalties, or, like, instant replay on whether or not something was actually, like, a face mask, for example, right? Or, like... I don't know. I think the fact that
quick reviews would be very.
A lot of the problems is that a lot of the times make a decision in like 20 seconds. Yeah, but a lot of the times, like, the refs will make a call, and even if it's egregious, like, they just, you have to roll with it. You can't challenge it. You can't, you know what I mean? And like that, I mean, that was president of the game. Like,
even though it would take in a lot of cases 10 seconds to get it right.
Exactly. So shame on Georgia.
The rules that we can't do that for some reason.
Shame on Georgia. The fact that they needed ref ball to barely beat Georgia Tech at home. I mean, this team is, come on. It's a shame they're making the playoffs.
I'm going to give Georgia Tech credit. They are a very good, strong team. I really like Brent Key. I like Georgia Tech, as you know, because I have some education from there.
No big deal.
I give a lot of credit to Georgia Tech. They did exactly what they needed to do. They're a very physical, strong team. Like, for a team like Georgia Tech to be decent, go into a bowl game with an already winning record and it not be based off, like, gimmick speed offenses or whatever, for it to be because they're a physical, strong team that matched up person for person with both Georgia. They did it to Miami. They did it to Florida State at the beginning of the year, who are all known as being physical teams. They did it. I give them a bunch of credit. And, I mean, Brent Key's an offensive line guy, so it makes sense. But they needed their due credit. They're not just a bad team that
I get it. But it does seem like Georgia, like, I mean, I've been saying that this year, but this really solidifies it. The mystique around Georgia feels very lost at this point. Like, I don't think anyone's... I mean, people don't want to play Georgia, but no one's, like, fearing for their lives playing Georgia in the playoffs this year. You know, I think
it comes down to quarterback play, just to be honest. I think if they replaced the quarterback with somebody better.
Yeah, if they had a good quarterback, they'd be...
That narrative would flip so fast.
They'd be scary, but Carson Beck is...
My dad...
not good.
Yeah, my dad was actually talking about how, you know, a lot of the time refs in the NCAA, they're just part-time refs. He was talking about how he had, like, a company, IT company softball game, or... flag football game, and the ref and the other company's representative, who's like a manager executive of the company, was an SEC official.
No way.
And this was like 20 years ago, but it just goes to show, like, we need actual full-time refs who spend their week watching film, looking for things, learning the tendencies of teams so they know what to look out for, kind of just know how to call things instinctually. And we don't have that right now. I think that's a lot of the problem, is we have amateur refs who do it part-time, and we get amateur results.
And we need NIL for refs. Think about it.
Exactly.
Anyways.
Moving on to other Friday night games. Please. I know you probably don't want to talk about it, but I feel like it's got to be addressed.
Yeah.
So here's the thing with Minnesota beating you going 5-7. If you get the APR bump.
Yeah, which we would.
Keep the bowl streak alive, and you can still get Luke Fickell fired.
The thing is, it's weird, like, as of recording this, we don't know what's going to happen, right? But it is certainly possible that, like, every year, like, a couple of 5-7 teams make a bowl game, right? And it's generally based off of academics. I'm pretty sure Wisconsin would be up there, knock on wood. I don't think we should take it. Like, if given the opportunity for Wisconsin to keep the bowl streak alive but have a losing season, just don't, it's not real. Like, it's not, that's not what a bowl streak is. You know, at the end of the day, we're still going to have a losing record. We could potentially go 5-8. That sounds miserable. Just take the loss. Take the loss and rebuild. Rebuild the whole dang program at this point, dude.
But you do firmly want Luke Fickell fired.
Yes! Dude, it is tragic to think. I mean, the team... I gotta say, man, like... That game on Friday... I don't think I've ever seen less energy out of a Wisconsin team. Like, it just, the whole build, it just felt so dead in Camp Randall. Like, everyone, like, all the people who, like, braved that weather and, like, went out of their way on a holiday weekend to, like, go to that game, it's like we were all just so collectively disappointed and so collectively hurt by the team in a way that I had never really felt before. I never felt that low of a low, I think, at a game, at any game that I've ever been to. It's just like the collective spirit of Wisconsin is just so destroyed at this point. And it's all because of one man. It's all because of Luke Fickell. He needs to go.
I think you can put some blame on Brandon Locke, too.
He's the worst quarterback.
I'll say this. I know when Auburn beats us, it's like, usually when Auburn beats us, obviously it sucks because they're going to trash talk us. Yeah. That's going to happen. It is what it is. Everybody's going to point and laugh. But when they beat us, it's because of, like, amazing theatrical plays. Right. They did exactly what they needed to do, really dug deep into the playbook.
Right.
While with Minnesota, it's like, that didn't really happen. Like, I'm just going to be honest. You guys played, like, total ass.
We did. Yeah, I mean, both teams did. I mean, it's just we played like more butt.
They did not play well, and it bothers me when I see them. There was one point where they were celebrating a third down stop with the fist and high fiving.
I got the fist.
The receiver dropped the pass.
I had to tell the fist, dude. So the Minnesota fans of the game, they do the fist thing at games. The fans do the fist thing. After a third down stop, all the fans raise their fist. I'm like, are you kidding me? It felt like my own personal hell, dude. There was this douchebag Minnesota fan a few rows ahead of me who, look up the rapper Riff Raff. Go on Google Images, look up Riff Raff. I've seen him live, by the way. He was basically dressed like Riff Raff, but like in a Minnesota jersey. And on the first third down stop, he did the fist.
That is just wonderful. I'm going to throw out, what if I do this? I'm going to throw out a couple coaching candidates, and I just want to hear your thoughts. First of all, would you rather hire a proven Power 5 coordinator that has never coached and never been a head coach before, or would you rather hire an up-and-coming Group of 5 head coach?
G5. I've learned the mistake. You can't trust G5. Period. You just can't.
Very true, because the way to succeed, like the way you manage a Group of 5 roster or program and team is just so fundamentally totally different than Power totally 5. Different. It just doesn't always translate. But that's why the Power 5 coordinators usually do at least okay. They don't like spectacularly fail, even if they don't work out.
Right. They know what to do.
You know, they at least know how to run and manage a Power 5 program week to week, year to year, off-season to off-season.
Right. What do we got?
Okay. Hold on. Kane Womack, our defensive coordinator right now.
No.
I don't want DC is because he's a great recruiter and great defense manager.
I think
the head coach of the defense.
We can't have another defensive coordinator head coach. We need an offensive minded guy. I think we would need an OC
coach.
Yeah, I think that's why more than anything.
Lance Leopold.
Yeah, I mean Lance, Wisconsin. Dude. I know he's not a coordinator, but I mean, I think Lance would have been an amazing fit here. And in hindsight, it's really a shame that we didn't make more of an effort to get him.
I kind of see what you're saying. One thing that bothers me so much about Wisconsin right now is the whole dairy raid thing. And when you look at it, the way Wisconsin typically has historically recruited, the type of athletes you get and the type of athletes you have available, a pro spread offense would be so perfect for you to run.
Yeah.
And it's what's popular right now. You're in a prime position to take advantage of this, and you just need somebody who's willing to do it.
I mean, hopefully we can. I mean, for what it's worth, we have an opening right now for offensive coordinator. And I'm really hoping we can get someone who is willing to just change it up and move away from the dairy raid. It obviously has not worked, despite the cool name.
You know what's crazy? Okay, so I see you have this note that you wanted to talk about it. Luke Fickell, it's almost like he didn't coach seriously.
Yeah, dude.
And PJ Fleck, he's a charlatan, but he coached seriously.
It's true.
Can you articulate the thought here?
So for those of you who aren't in the loop, there was a really great quote from Doc Rivers, coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, about 3 weeks ago or so. He said, "I'm going to start coaching seriously now." And since that quote, the Bucks are 8-1. So I think there's something to it. I think that beyond coaches, this is getting like just philosophical, Randy, right? I think some people just get complacent in life, period. Like you reach a certain age, oh, yeah. You reach like a certain level of success, you know, and you're like, I'm good with this. And like you kind of lose what got you there in the first place. I think that happened to Luke Fickell. I think that him going to Cincinnati was good for him to go from like Ohio State to Cincy because it was like this kind of, you know, lower tier program, G5, you know, he had to really work his way up the ladder and really make a name for himself. He comes to Wisconsin and he's treated like a god by people like me and by all the fans and by all the, you know, all the yes men in the athletic department. And it's like that whatever drive and raw motivation he had to coach seriously just left the door, dude. Like he hasn't been serious since he's been here. And
I saw how fired up he was during the Alabama game and during the Oregon game. It seems like he's got his serious moments, but it's not consistently serious.
Right.
When I think of an unserious coach, I think of Ryan Day and how he just looked dumbfounded with 1,000 yards after the Michigan Ohio State game.
Like that.
Well, there was a massive brawl going on. And that's it kind of goes to a deeper philosophical, you know, disposition of how you go about life is if you are you a serious or unserious person.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of leadership skill that you have to let constantly be on fire and take it seriously and be focused. You can't just kind of, we're going to make our game plan and see how it goes. You got to like be very intentional and focused and serious about how you approach everything, especially as a head coach when you're that high level of a leader.
And you can tell when like when it's interesting every now and then when teams are getting blown out and they'll have a camera angle of the coach on the sideline with that 1,000-yard stare and they just like lost and confused. It's like that's kind of where Ryan Day was. I was thinking of, like you said,
but that's what I like about Kalen DeBoer is that he never looks like he's lost. He's a very chill coach, but he doesn't look like he's unserious. It's just his demeanor, and you can tell he has a lot of attention to detail in how he goes about things, which I can appreciate. I mean, you can tell the difference between chill and unserious. There's a difference.
I'm trying to think of like...
You can be serious, or you can be intense, but unserious.
I agree. I'm trying to think of which coaches are like the most lost. And I'm thinking of like Brian Kelly. Like at times, Brian Kelly can just look so... You know what I mean? Like,
he is lifeless. A perfect example of intense, but unserious.
Yes, yeah. Luke Fickell's pretty unserious in my eyes, and it's just... I wish
he's also a great example of intense but unserious.
Yes. It's
the approach you have during the practice week that really matters.
And it's clearly not the energy, the spark wasn't there. Yeah.
You don't need to motivate your players to play number one Oregon or to play Alabama. They're going to be self-motivated.
Yeah. That's a good point. Jesus, Randy. Damn, that's a good point, dude.
Like 5-6 and it's going to be cold and it's Minnesota and you know the season's pretty much over and it was a disappointment, that's when your leadership abilities are going to shine. If you can motivate the team to just win this game and get to a bowl and keep the streak alive.
Right. God. Yeah. Oh my God. God. I did honestly.
Kelly, when the season's kind of lost a little bit, he can't keep them motivated.
That's what hurts, man. It's like, I honestly hadn't even thought about that because I feel like one thing Wisconsin under Fickell has been, like, prepared for big games. I think back to the Ohio State game last year. I think back to, of course, the Oregon game this year, the Penn State game this year. Like, yeah, when we play top five opponents at home, they're ready. But then we play teams like Indiana last year or effing Northwestern, right? And it's just like there's so many games where just, like, the team comes out so flat, so unprepared, so unmotivated. And like you said, dude, like, those are the games you need to lock in for. Like, you need to lock in every single week in college football.
Exactly. And to kind of give a little bit of a contrast, I actually now want to break up Deion Sanders. And that
Neon.
He, you know how disastrous Colorado season started?
Of course.
He did, to his credit, he did a really good job of actually keeping the team focused. He kind of shut up in the media. His son shut up. Nobody was in the media. They just kept their head down. They refocused and they got to work. They were in the college football playoff conversation in the last week of the season. So I really think that speaks to a coach who, Deion, he kind of is who he is. I get people's criticisms of him. but he was serious in how he approaches things week to week. You can tell he knows what he's doing in some sense. I mean, he's a brand new Power 5 head coach, right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to have some struggles. But I just wanted to give him a little bit of credit there because I see him get so much hate. And I feel like we need to talk about this.
Please.
Colorado just got a 5-star quarterback commit, the number 2 overall recruit in the 2025 class. Do you think Deion's actually shaping up to be like a coach? Like I think at this point there's a good chance he doesn't just bolt as soon as his son is gone.
I think he'll be a coach, just not at Colorado. I think he's either going to the NFL or Florida State. One of those two. I don't see him staying. Deion Sanders will not be at Colorado 2 years from now. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say, but it shows that he cares about coaching more than just his son's play on the team.
I suppose. I mean, his son's going to be making a ton of money soon in the NFL. I still don't like Deion, but I will say it seems like either he's toned it down or the media's just kind of toned it down. Like, it's hard to say, chicken or the egg, right? But it seems like the Deion hype has certainly died down, especially now that it's like playoff time and, you know, time to get serious about the
actual games. And he's still able to get his team focused and motivated to play these games that quote-unquote don't matter anymore.
I know. They won 52-0 against Oklahoma State this weekend. I mean, yeah.
At a certain point, it's about your manhood's on the line. You know what I mean? You want to show people how tough you are, and that's how you do it as an athlete.
We got none of that here. We lost our 5 last games. We were 5-2 at one point. God dang it. We were leading Oregon in the fourth quarter at home. Oh, my God.
You got punished for scheduling a strong strength of schedule. You got punished for scheduling a strong out-of-conference opponent.
Big 12 privilege.
We're kind of in an era now where people seem to really want to punish and completely de-incentivize strength of schedule and scheduling these games. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. If you'd scheduled anybody else or a lot of other teams, you know, you'd be 6-6 and keep the bowl streak alive.
Yes. And
I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to say it.
Say it.
There are some teams whose strength of schedule is so laughably bad. I can't believe there are real conversations about, you know, people think it's baffling that Alabama at 3 losses could be above some of these 2-loss teams. But I'm sorry, but if you don't play a single team in the FPI top 40, I can't take you seriously.
We played several.
You play... that's Big 12 privilege, is not having to play freaking 4 number 1 teams at home in a year.
I think we're going to... I'd like to save that conversation for next week. after the conference championship game. Because you're in, Brandy. You were in. Like, don't you worry.
That's not necessarily true. If Clemson beats SMU, there's a good scenario where we could be left out. But
We'll see. The rankings
come out tonight. It's also going to depend on the rankings that are about to come out tonight. Yeah. I mean, we record this right before the CFP show.
Of course.
If Miami's below us, there's a really good shot. And it depends on how far SMU is above us. Because if SMU is like 1 spot above us, or 1 or 2... Mm-hmm. Then there's a good shot that we're in no matter what happens to them.
Man, it's SMU, it's interesting. Like, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing them play Clemson, and for no other reason, just to see, like, I haven't watched a single SMU game this season. I don't think I've seen a highlight of SMU, and yet they're a top 10 team. Makes no sense.
I think also my rant is that people are being extremely short-sighted in the sense that if you really want to punish that, you're going to lose a lot of what makes college football really cool with these out-of-conference games and out-of-conference rivalries, because there's no incentive to play these games and you only get punished for having a strong schedule. What's the point? Everybody's just going to stack up the schedule of cupcakes, because all that matters is, do you have 2 or do you have 3?
We'll save it for next week.
It also depends on where your 2 losses... I don't necessarily care as much about who you lose to, but I care more about who you show you can beat. If the 2 teams you lose to are the top 2 teams on your schedule and you play nobody within even the top 60, then, like, no, you're not going to be taken seriously. That's my thought.
Are you calling out Indiana on that?
I'm talking about Miami.
Okay. Well, Miami's out, dude. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, Randy. Miami's done.
I know. Okay. I think Indiana still deserves their spot. I think they're good. I have no problem with them being
annihilated Purdue. Granted, it's Purdue, but That was a walloping.
They beat Michigan. I think the Michigan's good enough for me to respect them because Michigan is still a physical, talented team.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, even at 7-5.
True.
All right. So we that was a long segue. Let's go ahead and go into Saturday's games.
Let's get it. Championship week, dude.
So at 11 a.m., Michigan takes down the Ohio State University. How surprised were you by that result?
It's like still kind of sinking in, if I'm being honest. Let that sink in. It doesn't even feel real. Like I still kind of don't believe it. That's how surprised I am.
For me, what really got my attention was the brawl after the game.
Yeah.
Where, dude, it was so funny. We've been talking about Gus Johnson being overrated for so long.
True.
I feel like people are finally catching on.
Finally, yes.
Because I think he was just mad that he couldn't say his little catchphrase more than a couple times because Ohio State couldn't score and he's a bit of a homer there. He couldn't throw out a nickname or whatever. But they're just sitting there talking about it while the brawl is going on, making sure there's a perfect overhead camera spot on it to where we can see it while they commentate over it. And they're saying, oh man, this is so gross. Yeah. We don't need this in college football. People don't want this. Oh, what does our sport come to? But God forbid Fox cuts away from it and you don't talk about it and you don't bring it to our attention.
I know.
Like, you're relying on this for ratings, dude.
It was...
God. You can't have your cake and eat it, too.
The way they handled it was so dumb. Like, when it ended, I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then it just, like... At one point, Gus and company just stopped talking. It was, like, silent. It was really weird. But I remember him...
It's like watching WWE, literally.
I know. But he framed it like, Michigan is committing this horrible act. But if you look back, like, Ohio State started the brawl. You know what I mean? Like, I get that Michigan planted the flag.
I want to say that they started the brawl per se. Like, I am honestly not the biggest fan in the world of the flag plant thing. I mean, I think it's a cultural difference between Big Ten and the SEC.
Blame Oklahoma. You guys started it, SEC fan.
We did not start the flag. But first of all, they were in the Big 12, and they're kind of Midwestern, so they're still learning. So we'll get them there.
Oh, my God.
But and as Alabama and Auburn, you never see us plant flags or go dance on the logo or do anything to that nature against each other.
Just,
I feel like I'll
you poison the trees. Either. You poisoned the tree.
We didn't poison the trees. That was one redneck fan that did that.
I'm just saying, Randy.
It's a lot different than our players all gathering at midfield and planting a flag versus one guy from Texas who has nothing to do with the university poisoning trees.
Man, here's the thing. I support the brawl. I really do. I'm glad Ohio State was embarrassed. Like, not just for the game, but for how they acted after the game. That team, that program, that state deserves to be shamed, and I feel like they actually finally got humbled a little bit this weekend. So that was enjoyable.
I feel like them rushing to midfield to do that is more embarrassing than just letting it happen.
Just let it happen and like take the loss and move on, and no one would ever talk about it again. You know what I mean? But because they caused the brawl, now we're talking about
the actual game.
What'd you say?
I said, why didn't they fight that hard during the actual
game? I know. They were so...
And also, the thing is, Ohio State literally did the exact same thing to Indiana the week before. So even in that context, they can't be that mad.
Did they plant the flag in Indiana?
They did.
What?
I think they planted the flag. They had a midfield celebration. They rubbed it in. I'm not a fan of just, like, rubbing it in, taunting, making it more about your opponent than yourself celebrations, if that makes sense.
I get it. Sportsmanship, I get it.
Okay, so for example, our players, the way they celebrate the Iron Bowl is like they shake hands and then they come. We have a reverse field rush where some of our players came into our student section and like jumped in and sang the fight song with us and they did all that stuff. And that's really cool because we're making the celebration about us and not about somebody else. It's about what we achieved, what we accomplished. I think part of it is the fact that we live in the same state as Auburn. So like, yeah, we go to work with and go to school with, well, not at the university, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. We go to work with our kids, might go to school with. We are around these people every single day. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a brotherly rivalry of sorts. And it's intense. Don't get me wrong. It's very intense, but it's not like downright nasty, like the way the Tennessee rivalry is.
I don't know, man. I'm just glad Ohio State lost. We'll leave it at that. Other quick games. We do have to talk about the upcoming week here, Randy. But were there any other games from this rivalry weekend you wanted to touch base on first?
We had Texas beat Texas A&M. I just wanted to say it's funny that Texas A&M fires Jimbo, rest in peace, and then hiring new coach just to go 8-4 again.
Yep.
Losing 3 out of the last 4 to go 8-4. They really were like, they had to really rally to get that 8-4 record down the stretch.
Yeah, they dug deep to get that one. But I respect the hustle out of A&M.
Yeah. Miami went down to Syracuse. And granted, Syracuse is decent at 9-3. Mm-hmm. They're the second best team Miami has played this year. They lost to them anyway. Miami had a 21-point lead. They blew it. Cristobal seems, I don't know what the word is. Unserious.
Unserious. Yeah. Hey, that's a really good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah, they blew it. I'm really mad at them. I mean, it's crazy to think like that a team could blow it this hard against freaking Syracuse. It's Syracuse, guys. Like, what are we doing, man? Just shameful. Just shameful.
We had South Carolina take down Clemson with a 10-point fourth quarter comeback, that was a very entertaining game. Fun fact, the last team South Carolina lost to was us. Norris Sellers looks really good. I'm actually kind of excited to see what South Carolina could do next year.
Mm-hmm. Is he back? We're going to see how they look. He's a freshman. He's played
transfer. Yeah, exactly. Right, he's a freshman. He sat behind Spencer Rattler for a year. He developed. That's just, you know, good for South Carolina. I like to see a likable coach like Shane Beamer succeed. And Shane Beamer strikes me as a serious coach. He's a good example of it. Because I remember it was a couple years ago. They started, I think, 0-2. Mm-hmm. And a reporter asked them, hey, like, do you think the team's given up? Are you going to have a hard time motivating them at 0-2? It really seems like, you know, you have the team's not what it is this year. And he said, oh, hell no, they haven't quit. No, we're going to play the next team on our schedule. These things happen. You have to deal with adversity. And lo and behold, I think they went 8-4 that year and turned it around. But it shows that he knows how to rally the troops when he needs to, unlike some coaches.
My only fear is he does kind of give me PJ Fleck vibes.
I don't get that at all. He seems way more
offensive. It's probably more so the South Carolina social media. I think the South Carolina like Twitter game is just like so obnoxious. Up there with like TCU for like most obnoxious. So that probably plays a role in it, but yeah, I don't know. Keep an eye on it.
As far as other games, I know Neil Brown got fired at West Virginia. So the coaching carousel is finally kicked off a little bit later. So, I mean, maybe he can get the Wisconsin job.
I would take him. Gladly. I'll take anyone, there's dude. No way. I'll take anyone.
There's no way. bowl eligible, really good team, Oklahoma, happened to lose to LSU. Florida takes down Florida State. Florida 7-5. I just want to point out that Florida ended up the season 7-5. They had a really big turnaround. Napier's coming back for another year. And I'm going through some of these games just because this is the end of the season for a lot of these teams. So I'm just kind of making a point about it. Army is 10-1.
Yeah.
They beat UTSA. There is a world in which they can make the college football playoff.
It is still possible. They're going to need a lot of help, but it is possible.
I just think it's funny. They would need to be the fifth highest ranked conference champion. Mm-hmm. So it would be Boise State losing. And I think at that point they might be ranked above Boise State. There's a shot. I don't know about the other conference champions who's kind of looking close at that point.
Yeah. Well, UNLV might surpass them, though. Tulane is possibly. Well, they'd be Tulane, though, I guess.
Well, Tulane's now 9-3, and I just don't see them passing up a one-loss Army.
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, are we ready to move on to the conference championship?
I think we need to, Randy. Let's get it going here. Let's get predictions for every major game. I'm excited.
All right. So we're going to start with Boise State versus UNLV. Both teams are actually ranked. Mm-hmm. Do you think Boise State just kind of wins the game? They've had some close games lately, and Ashton Ginty has been a little banged up, admittedly. You think he gets right, they really do what they need to do?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, for those who don't remember, Boise State already defeated UNLV on the road earlier this year, 29-24. I think Boise, Yeah, I think just their style of play with like a very run focused offense, I think it matches up pretty well just because it's going to be consistent. Like, you know that Ashton Jeanty is going to run for at least like 150 yards, right? Like, you know he's going to get a couple touchdowns. And I think that is just going to be able to propel them from a UNLV team that's decent, but I kind of view as sort of a little bit, I don't know, like high flying in a way. That can kind of backfire in games like this, where like you're kind of having.
I remember, didn't they have their quarterback quit on them early in the year?
Yes, yes. This is the team. I believe the quarterback and running back. I want to say both left after the fourth game of the season. They left the program because they didn't get
very paid. Interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. And here they are now in the championship game for Mountain West. But I like Boise.
The thing is. You mentioned Boise State being a run-heavy team. They're actually really not that run-heavy, even with Ashton Jeanty. They throw a lot. They look, you know, I hate to tell you this, but they look like a more successful version of Wisconsin offense.
Wow, that hurts. It does hurt.
Of what they would look like with, like, a legitimate quarterback and running back combo with a good line. And just enough receiver weapons, a tight end, you know, to really make it hum. Mm-hmm. Also, at the same time on Friday night, we just talked about this kind of. Mm-hmm. We have Tulane and Army in the American Athletic Championship. I forgot Army's in a conference now. I always think of them as independent.
Nice. Likewise. This is a tough one. I really wanted to like Army, but they looked so bad against Notre Dame that I really don't know what to make of them. Like, I think they could probably be Tulane, but maybe Tulane's a bit too athletic for them. I don't know. What do you think?
I can see Army having a typical Army triple option game and doing what they need to do. Obviously, they didn't stand a chance versus Notre Dame, but it would be interesting. Their schedule is obviously very soft. But if they beat Tulane and Boise State loses, I don't know.
Flip a coin.
It might be too late. I mean, they wouldn't be above Clemson. Yeah, I think they'd have to be the sixth conference champion at that point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Moving on to Saturday morning, we have the Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship game.
Is this the only one that's sponsored? This is the only conference game that's sponsored.
It is the only conference championship game that's sponsored.
Oh my God. That's so Big 12, dude. That is such a.
It really is. It's Iowa State and Arizona State. Winner of this game goes to the college football playoff. So, how many touchdowns does Cam Scataboo have in this game?
Three.
I said in the game, not the first half.
Oh my God. You think it's going to be that much of a blowout?
Iowa State has this tendency that as a program and as a fan base, have you ever noticed how they do not handle winning well?
It's true.
They get very in their feels about their wins. And then when they lose, they melt down worse than we do, dude.
They get all, like, tragic and, like, you know, existential. We're never going to win, man. We're never going to make it. It's just like you're Iowa State, man. Like, that's the point, you know?
I feel bad for them in a sense, but it's like, come on. You got to – it's a stepping stone. Let your program get better year by year. Have some hope. I don't mind them having hope, but
– Whereas, Arizona State seems fun.
Like more than a year.
Arizona State, like, they seem cool. You know what I mean? Like Arizona State fans seem like just, like, dudes – You know what I mean? In a way that Iowa State could be.
They seem like what Oregon fans think they are.
Yes! Yes! Like, chill, but, like, actually, you know, not mean.
Chill, but still supporting their team.
Yeah.
Like, and actually, like, caring about it. I like it. I support it.
We're rooting for the Sun Devils big in this game, who I think will win, because Iowa State is cursed as a program.
That's true. At 3 p.m., we have the SEC championship, Georgia and Texas. How many touchdowns do you think Georgia wins by?
I love how you phrase all
this. No, hold on. How many picks do you think Quinn Ewers throws, and how soon in the game do you think he gets benched?
There's going to be so many picks in this game, I just realized, between Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers. Okay, I'll say this. I'm guessing 5 interceptions total in this game.
I like the number.
I think 5 is a good number. Georgia's going to win. Yeah, I think it'll be close. But the score will be close, but it won't actually be close. One of those kinds of games. You know what I mean? Where, like, Georgia's, like, clearly more physical, more athletic. But, like, Carson Beck keeps doing Carson Beck things to keep them out of the game. But now Georgia's going to win this one easily.
I'll give Texas the credit in that their defense is actually really, really, really good and could be a reason they win the game. I know we don't think of Texas in defense, but it's been a very strong spot for them this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
Next up at 7 p.m., we have Penn State and Oregon in the Big Ten Championship. It actually offends me and, like, makes me upset that Oregon's going to win this game.
I know. How do you think they're going to win it? Like, how, like, what's the most upsetting?
It's going to be in the, Drew Aller is going to throw, like, the worst time pick imaginable.
Yes. Yes.
No, I think it's going to be, like, a one-score game with, like, one drive left. Penn State's going to have the ball with technically a chance. But, you know, based on their offense, they're not, they don't actually have a chance.
Yes.
Because they can't drive the ball downfield, which you have to be able to do at some point. Mm-hmm. Oregon, for all intents and purposes, I know we like clowned on them, especially in the Idaho week, for, what was it, Dylan Gabriel technically throwing or having the school record for passing completions in a game despite not even throwing a single pass downfield.
Yeah.
And they can have that kind of offense. But still, he can do just enough. Like, Dan Lanning is really good at still getting an offense that can push the ball downfield whenever he needs to and take some shots with Dylan Gabriel. So I'll give him credit for that. I think Dan Lanning is just a better coach.
Oh, yeah. It certainly, at least in terms of, like, ceiling. I think James Franklin has, like, the most clearly defined ceiling in college football. And he's not winning the Big Ten. Like, they're making the playoffs regardless, so, like, it doesn't matter too much, I guess. But, like, yeah, it sucks, like you said. It sucks knowing, like, exactly how Oregon's going to win this game and how their fan base is going to react. Because you know it's going to be so toxic how, like, we just joined the Big Ten and won in year one. It's just, shut up. Just shut up. Shut up.
Okay, our newcomer is probably, maybe could do the
they
same
got a chance.
Too,
so yeah.
We know how it is.
And hey.
The thing is, like, in both the Big Ten and SEC Championship, both, all four teams are in.
Yeah. And good segue in the ACC. There's the potential.
ACC Championship game on at the same time as the Big Ten Championship. We have Clemson. SMU. SMU looks like they're currently ranked ninth. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. I don't know. I don't know what to think. Because I know we know Clemson sucks. Like, so that's a good baseline. Like, Clemson stinks. But I don't know about SMU because I haven't watched a single SMU snap this whole season.
I really have not watched any of them. I mean, they did lose by 3 to BYU early in the season.
Sure.
They blew out Florida State. They beat Louisville. They beat Duke. They beat Pitt.
Got a decent resume.
College.
But like, they haven't faced like a single teams. Like great team yet. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't faced a playoff caliber team. Not that Clemson is. But Clemson's going to be the best opponent they've faced all season, right?
I mean, absolutely. And they're so untested in that sense. I mean, yeah, they played BYU early in the season, but BYU is not that. They're not even in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, BYU kind of fell off. I don't know. I guess in a way, like, I'll try not to be cynical and say I'm actually looking forward to seeing this. Because if SMU does manage to not only win this game but win convincingly, I'd be happily impressed. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see them succeed. I think just as a program, like, I think it's a cool story of, you know, going from a G5 to a power program conference like this. So
having Florida State throw a tantrum over you're joining the conference because of how much you're going to damage it.
Yeah.
To Florida State being the first team to finish 17th in the ACC and SMU winning the conference would just be so cool. Funny.
It'd be cool. So, God willing, we'll get that.
I mean, and plus, SMU winning would 100% clinch Alabama in playoffs at that point.
Yep. Don't you worry, Randy. Don't you worry.
Unless we get some mega surprise in the rankings that come out in like an hour.
I just realized.
I don't think we will.
Are we? So they're not having a Pac-12 championship. I don't know why, but I thought they were going to still do Washington State versus Oregon State.
That would be so funny if they did that.
I don't know why I thought they would do that. But no, we did brush over some of the irrelevant G5 programs. But I guess just real quick then, Randy. Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State. Who's winning Conference USA?
Ooh. I want to see Jacksonville State win it. They're right up the road from me. They're like, I think like 45 minutes from my house.
Wait, are they're in Alabama?
Yeah, they're right very close to me.
I thought it was like Jacksonville. Okay, wait, hold on. Letting this up here. Jacksonville, Alabama.
Hey, trust me, you are not the first person to think
that. Oh my God.
But yes, they're like,
I thought it was Florida. Jacksonville, Florida? Anyone?
They're not in Florida. No.
Dang, dude.
I know where Jacksonville State is.
I trust you. I'm surprised. Okay, we're rooting for Jacksonville State then. Two other games we have to talk about real quick. Ohio versus Miami of Ohio. Who do you got? Who's winning the MAC?
I'm going to go Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to Ohio. Because my high school had the same logo as the Ohio Bobcat. Look up Green Bay West High School.
Nice.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, we have the Ohio logo. What was your logo in high school? Not the docks or anything. Did you have like, it was a college the team?
So we actually had the Wisconsin fight song as our fight song.
Me too. Yeah.
So I'm familiar with it. Well, it's different because we're not in Wisconsin to directly copy it that way.
It's true.
Although we did copy it, but our logo was an H, and the second part of the H had a T. It was like an H and a T, like imposed on each other.
What's your name? Like an N.
No, like the T was made out of the second half of the H.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, wow. Banana Joe will know exactly what I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay, okay. Shouts out to Banana Joe. Okay. One final game. Marshall versus Louisiana. Who's winning the Sun Belt?
Ooh. Louisiana, they had Napier.
Sun Belt Billy.
Before he left for Florida.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at their schedules really quick.
Sure.
Get a quick run.
We do research here. Louisiana beat Wake Forest. Keep that in mind.
They did. And Marshall played Ohio State, Virginia Tech. I mean, they lost both games, but they played Power 5 competition.
I'm going Louisiana.
I'm just going Marshall.
Okay.
Plus, Marshall beat Notre Dame that one time.
That's true. Hey, shouts out. All right. Randy, any other topics, any other games you want to discuss this week?
I believe that's about all I have.
All right. Thank you, Randy, yet again. And thank you, viewers, for listening to another episode of the Gym Podcast. This is a fun one, Randy. I'm really looking forward to Championship Weekend. Cannot wait, folks. Hope you all have a great weekend. And as always, Roll Tide!